Sorry.
Okay, so we say good morning, Judy and Diane and Kathy and Lucy and Ellie, Miriam.
Hi.
Okay, well, this is just a really nice study, right? Did you all find encouragement in this week and last week? Last week you all did repentance and I wasn't here. But this week, this is exactly what I needed this week, to read about our help and to know that he, who is our help, promised he could send the helper, the comforter, who actually dwells within us and reigns and rules and directs and helps. So, did you read the introduction? Okay. Is that how you did it last week?
I'm sorry.
Did you read the introduction last week?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay. All right. Well, I will do that. This is session two. It's on help, Psalm 124. I love this old story. I was at Red Cross Bloodmobile to donate my annual pint. A nurse asked me a series of questions to see if there was any reason for disqualification. The final question on the list was, do you engage in hazardous work? I said, yes. She looked up a little surprised, for I was wearing a clerical collar by which she could identify me as a pastor. Her hesitation was only momentary. She smiled, ignored my answer, and marked the no on her questionnaire, saying, I don't mean that kind of hazardous. I would have liked to continue the conversation, comparing what she supposed I meant by hazardous with what I meant by it, but that was not the appropriate time and place. A line of people was waiting for their turn at the needle. There are, though, appropriate times and places for just such conversations, and one of them is when Christians encounter Psalm 124. Psalm 124 is a song of hazard and of help. Among the psalms of ascent sung by the people of God on the way of faith, this is one that, better than any other, describes the hazardous work of discipleship and declares the help that is always experienced at the hand of God. Love it. Yay and amen for that. Okay, so the session goal, he says, is to praise God for his help in the past, and to trust him for future deliverance. And I think we could say present help right now for whatever it is. So if you have the book that this study's taken from, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, you would have read chapters four through six. And I did, and they are excellent. I recommend the book highly.
But it doesn't matter.
But let me say that. Don't know. This, that we have no, that's, there's no shoulds, oughts, you know, any of that hanging over you here. This is all, we're looking at Psalm 124. We're just going to look at the Psalm, but I'm just saying it is a nice book if you have time to read just apart from this. Okay, so our reflection question is, when have you survived danger, either physical or spiritual, through the Lord's help?
I'll tell a story. It happened a year ago, February. My husband and I were driving to Steamboat, Colorado. It's a beautiful sunny day. It was in January or February, but it was really windy, and it had snowed the day before. And so I was driving, and we were listening to Audible, and we were like within an hour of our destination. And the snow was blowing up, or it was drifting over the road. But the roads were clearly plowed and everything like that. And I was driving, and perhaps I was a little too confident in the roads. But there was a slow leaning left turn, and I couldn't see the snow drifting over the road until after I kind of entered the turn. So I entered the turn, and I felt myself drifting to the right, and I tried to correct, and it just wasn't going to happen. So I turned to Kyle, and I said, we're going over. I can't correct it. I avoided a mile marker, and then we kind of kept going. And then, you know, as soon as I'm off of the snow and taking everything, I'm braking. I'm kind of pumping the brake. But then we're in the bar ditch, and there's a fence line, and then we like tilted up on our side and stopped, and the front airbags went off. And Kyle immediately, like, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm okay. And I mean, within 30 seconds, there was a man standing in front of us going, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And we were like, "Yeah." And, you know, the little, we drive a Subaru, it's not called OnStar, but whatever their service is, came on and it says your airbags have gone off. You need assistance. And we're like, "Yes, yes, yes." And so then there was I was in the position sideways like this, and I didn't have the strength with one arm to just like push open the driver's side door. Mm-hmm. So there was a gentleman that climbed up on the top of the side of the car.
Another gentleman
and his wife that climbed up on the top of the car, side of the car, opened the passenger side back door, and said he was a firefighter from Dallas. So he got Kyle out first, because if I undid my seatbelt, I was going to fall into that seat. So Kyle got out, and then I undid my seatbelt and put my feet and kind of stood up on the passenger side door. And so he got me out, and then he said, you know, is there anything that you want me to go get for you? So I was like, well, I have my purse and phone, and there's a blanket, you know, that kind of stuff. So he went back in the car, got that stuff. And then his wife is standing there, and she's a nurse. She goes through a whole series of questions, looks at our eyes, you know, and everything like that. And they were just coming from Steamboat Springs, and they were from the Dallas area. So he's like, "Do you want a water or Dr. Pepper or anything?" I was like, "Yes, I'm And it was in the middle of COVID, you know. We were like, well, they're like, "You need to get in our car." And we're like, "But it's okay. We both had COVID, you know, get in our car." So we were able to stay with them until the DPS officer arrived and everything like that. But it was totally felt like we were seen. I mean, it was covered.
You were.
Yes, absolutely.
You were. So. Man.
Yeah.
Okay, top that one. Yeah.
So thank you for driving.
Huh?
We were driving from St. Louis to some vacation spot in Colorado in the winter. And what we do is we leave at 7, we used to, not anymore, we're in our upper 40s and 50s with Scott. We leave at 7 o'clock at night, and Scott drives like the first 5 hours, and then I take over because I can sleep anywhere at any time. So I can sleep first, and he can't. So I take over and I'm driving, and I'm notorious for not looking at the gas. So I am driving, and he pops up something like, "How's our gas?" I'm like, "Oh my gosh, we are like on the empty, like not here, but we're on the empty line." And I can look at my car, and it's 3 degrees outside, and we're in the middle of Kansas, and there's nothing.
There is something.
And the first thing he is, "Well, we're going skiing, so we have warm clothes for us and kids." And so I just call my mom, because she's always going to check how far. I'm like, "Okay, this is our situation." Like, she's like, "Fix her." And she's like, "Okay." And I was giving her our mile markers, but like she couldn't really figure out where we were to see if there's a gas station anywhere. So she just starts calling the police to get us help. And so we're just driving along, pondering, praying, "God, what do we do? What do we do?" And he's like, "I just want you to get off here and turn left." So we get off and we turn left. We're in fields and trees and stuff like that. We get off and turn left. And after we turn left and go under the highway, or over, I can't help it. But anyway, on the right was a gas pump in the middle of the field. And there was a man there at the pump. Thank God, because we never seen a
same man.
I was gonna say, this isn't a man, this is an angel.
Like, there was a pavement, there was like a concrete pavement,
looked like my
pump
stood
on. But I've never seen a pump this old in my entire life. I'm like, "I don't know what this thing." Scott's like, "I don't either." And the man's like, "I'll show you." I was like, "Okay." So he shows a pump. I'm like, "But how do you pay?" He's like, "Behind you on a metal pole sticking out of the ground is a credit card machine." I'm kidding. Like, Scott and I were just like, "Pinch, like, this is so weird." And we got a full tank of gas. And it was bizarre. And I truly believe that we went back there, would be no gas pump there. Right. I just put that there in that moment.
Wow. It's highly probable. Yeah. And we just thank you, Jesus, that you are everywhere, always, at all times, and with us. I mean, it is amazing. Yes. So it's just, yeah. So
And my mom could never figure out where we are. And she's really smart, resourceful, and good at that kind of stuff. And
but he knew right where you were.
So God provided another way.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
We should take a picture.
And he is the way, right? He has said, I am the way.
Yeah.
And the truth and the life. And wow. Okay. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. What a great lesson. Oh my gosh. Those are two amazing, amazing testimonies.
It was 3 a.m. when you knew that.
Pardon me?
There was a bayonet that come with 3 a.m.
Yeah.
I took over driving
at midnight. Yeah.
We'll take a guess.
As I said, I think he was an angel.
Yes.
Pretty, wow. Pretty wow. Sure.
That's true.
Okay. When or how do you feel the Lord has not helped or rescued you? What do you wish God had done in those cases?
Soften the heart of my children.
Okay.
I just wish you had never let them happen. Mm-hmm. You know, you think, oh, well, but what if we just reverse it? And then, no, I just wish it had never happened.
Yeah. It is true. Yeah.
This question just took me back. I was like, wait a minute. I just wrote down the testimony of how the Lord provided for me. And why are you asking me if the Lord has not helped me? Mm-hmm. I mean, I just was like,
so what do you think he's trying to draw out of us with those two questions?
No, that was my response. Well, of course, it's a reminder. He's helped me every time. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's sometimes, did we regret our circumstances? Yeah, sometimes, but the Lord has seen us through. And so anyway, that just, I don't know. I just, it took me back. I read the question like 3 times. So I was like, well, what do you mean? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. Of course.
Well, I think it's the perception problem that we have. You know?
The key word in that sentence is feel.
Yes. Boom. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think it's
how do you feel the Lord? Feel. Yeah. So that is the question. And so I think in those instances, and I'm sure everyone in this room has something going on in their life right now, that either with family, you know, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren for me. I mean, you can...
That doesn't feel good.
No, and it's... But, what does he say? You know, I will call this to mind, and I will remember this. And we remember who we know him to be.
Right.
And we recall those past experiences, those past things, where he has proved himself faithful, because we know, do we not, that he never changes. He never changes. He is always the same. And he's always faithful. He's always good. He's always working his purposes out. Do we know what the ultimate purpose is? Yes. Do we know how we're going to get there? No. I mean, is he writing our story? Yes. Is he the author and perfecter of our faith? Yes. Does this have something to do with my faith? Yes. Is he strengthening it in this period of time? And so, yeah. So anybody else have any thoughts on that? Because it just brought forth all kinds of memories.
Yeah, removing the feeling and remembering and trusting in what he says.
In the truth.
In the truth, right. Instead of going back to what
yes.
you want to feel.
Right.
Otherwise
right.
we would have changed.
Right.
And that's what the Psalms teach us to do, right? Yeah. So it's in that study and in that discipline of study that we learn to counsel our way through it.
Yes.
That we always are reminding ourselves of the truth and our feelings. God is concerned about our feelings.
He gave us emotions.
He gave us emotions, but we know that they're fallen. And so we have to take that captive and, you know, take your heart and hand, and that's where you counsel yourself.
Yes.
What you know to be true.
Right.
But I think at the same time, though, like what you said, Mona, about wishing it hadn't happened, I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think that you do feel, and it's just that thankful spot where you know that God allows really bad things, because mm-hmm. there are bad things that are, maybe you did it, maybe you were part of doing it, maybe it was done to you, maybe it was done to someone you love, and the pain is not fake. It just isn't.
No.
And so it is that, I think there's something about trusting the one that allows, because he's safe,
mm-hmm.
and because as this psalm continues to point out, he is authority. You know, his name is
Adonai, which I think is one of the harder names that he is the master, is what that name means. But it's this part, because you do ask, people do ask, where are you? Where are you? Do you hear me?
That's what the Psalms are full of, that, yeah. Right?
And even the how long, yeah. You know, how long is this going to last?
Right.
And I think that those questions are so fair, and that he repeats twice, if the Lord had not been on our side, which take it to the place where it says the Lord is on your side. And being able to go, I don't understand, this does hurt, I am sad, and being able to even put the fear, being able to put the anxieties, being able to put the questions, because he's safe enough to be able to handle all of those. But I do think feelings, I mean, there's the hard stuff is happening to a lot of people, and it isn't good stuff. And
right.
It's the fallen ways of this world for sure. The Lord allows them. I don't understand that. I know that we've said the question I wish it had. Like, for real.
Well, yeah. Our design is, we were never meant for this, right? We were not meant to live in this. And so it's an innate longing that we would live in a perfect world, because that's what God designed us for. And so our desire that the darkness be pushed back is how he made us. And so that's a real and true longing that's actually, I think, God-given, right?
Right.
For sure. And I think because there's some way about knowing him, because he is the light. You know, he takes us back to the maker in this song.
Yeah.
But knowing that he is the light, and we can live in the light even in the midst of the darkness, because the light always bosses the darkness.
Always.
So there must be something about living in this fallenness that is empowering of his strength. Being able, that was one of the things that I was like at the end of it, just going, because sometimes I think we feel like we have to conquer this stuff, or we have to be strong, or we have to persevere, and all those kinds of things. And it's sort of like the mystery is in his strength. In this beautiful part, if the Lord had not been on our side, he's on your side. I think there goes, please help me believe, help me see, help me know that you are on my side.
And that's yeah. What I was going to say earlier was that the examples we've given were both physical, but it's when I've seen people in spiritual danger that,
yeah.
and they turn away from God, and that's like the hardest. Mm-hmm. And so you're praying for them, and but, you know, it's like you can't change another person's heart. You know, but you're just praying for God to have them remember him and remember what they've learned and they've done.
And I think to remember, too, to be able to have been in the Word, to have sat in the teaching of teachers, but particularly Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, and to know passages concerning suffering and concerning darkness and what God says about those things, and to be able to go there, to read 1 Peter, to read 2 Corinthians, to go to passages of scripture that are dealing with dark things, the hard things, but to know always that yes, okay, that he is always for us. He will never leave or forsake us. He is with you in it. He is actually enduring it himself with you as you.
Yeah, I'm just glad you said that. It's so validating. I'll probably get emotional, but last night we did another couple. And for whatever reason, God is the strongest of this couple. And they're raised Jewish, not practicing. And you know, my 7-year-old, who's now 16, has presented the gospel to them. Asked them if they think Jesus is a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord. We've done it all. And he is fearless, like this kid. He ministers to me. But in this group, we've gotten into all these like live strong things, and all these cancer survivors. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's something about these people who've overcome cancer that it's just there's something powerful about them. But these are not believers. And we were sitting down last night, and one of the girls, she's 43, she just got diagnosed yesterday with pancreatic cancer. Wow. And it's in her bone marrow, her clavicle, and her lungs. Wow. And I'm just like, we have to hurry.
This is your Jewish friend.
Yeah. Wow. And I'm just,
Yeah, we've been in their lives for years, and they don't hear it. It's just a lot of pressure. We may have months. I mean, the doctor said, you know, maybe 11 months if we're lucky, and it gets into a clinical trial. But I mean, it's one thing for us to suffer and know in eternity in perfection. So we go to funerals going, they're finally home, and it's perfect, and there's a peace that happens. But with this situation, I'm just like, and of course I'm looking for like doctors and MD Anderson, and he's just looking like, when are we going to go over there and present the gospel? And I'm like, but we've said it so many times, and it hasn't.
But you're living it before them too. It's not even so much what you said.
Atlas, right?
Right.
I'm chasing the very, very
right. And what do they really think about that and what happens after? Just tell us her first name and we can pray for her.
Thank you. Her name is Jen.
Jen?
Yeah. But it's just so, yeah. I wish it wasn't happening, like you said.
Yes.
You know, it's just very, very young, very hard.
Yeah. I had a woman in my Bible study who had a very good lifelong friend like that, and she got cancer young, and was saying, and she was also Jewish, and was saying, I mean, she didn't even believe in God anymore, because it's like, why would he have taken me away from my children? And the woman in my Bible study just got set and said, just promise me that when he comes to you, you'll listen. Because he will come. You know, even if it's after writing words, she'll listen. Mm-hmm. And that's all you can do. It's just, you know, she could just promise me that you won't turn away if he listens when he comes to you. You know, you planted the seeds, and that's, and God can do it.
And they can see his,
That's my story. I had breast cancer when I was not a believer, and the seed she's talking about, the guy that Scott works with, said, how can I trade these specifically? Who is this guy that did specifically? 3 years of fun in my head. 3 years, over and over and over again, and then finally I heard the gospel for the first time. Now, I'm not saying it wasn't presented to me before, but I heard it, and he got it for the first time 3 years later. One tiny question. That man's now in heaven, so I know he knows exactly this question, but for years, we had no idea the impact of this. We have no idea, like, what your son might have said 14 years ago.
Yeah.
That is spinning in her head, and she's in a different stage of life, battling for her life, which is a different mindset than the last time we met a church pastor, right? And we have no idea how God uses that.
Well, I think he's showing himself, his faithfulness to them, and your faithfulness in your friendship. He's showing his love for them, and you all love for them. And so I just think that we forget sometimes, you know, just that we are carriers of this one that we worship, this one that we want her to say, yes, I believe in Jesus, that he dwells inside of you, and that he can manifest himself through you to her. And life do that in these coming days and weeks. So we pray that for Jen and for her family. Okay, good. Yeah. So, yeah. And if you will, we've got prayer requests each week, and there is a group that will be praying for these prayer requests. So.
I put one out right now. That's really good.
Yes.
My friend Sam Brown is running for United States Senator of Nevada, and today is the primary, and he's running against Adam Maxwell. So, prayers at Sam wins.
Okay.
It used to be watermark number in Nevada.
Okay.
And so, Sam Brown.
Sam Brown. Okay. Yes.
You might know him. His head to toe scars from a bomb blowing up on him in the vehicle.
Yeah.
A lot of people know who he is at Walmart.
Yeah. Anyway.
Sam Brown.
Okay. So I'm going to read some, and then we'll get into the questions. This has been great. Great. Very practical and encouraging and truthful testimony and conversation. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger flared against us, the flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. The psalmist and all God's people had been under vicious attack what words depict the strength of the attack that they had to endure? What are some of the words that the psalmist uses here?
Swallowed us alive.
Okay. Be swallowed alive, right.
Anger flared, engulfed, the right. Torrent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A torrent sweeping over you.
Breaking waters. Yeah. Torn by teeth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just the fowler's snare, and every one of us, the fowler has set a snare for us, right?
I think all this stuff is a fowler's snare.
Yeah.
So that just like it's not, because the language is so beautiful.
Yeah.
But it's very practical.
Yeah.
So it's like these things, like what fowler's snare are you, like yes. What is it that yeah. you feel like is surprised you mm-hmm. or snuck up on you? Or
what's the torrent raging over you right now?
Right. Yeah. I think the language is so beautiful.
Yes, it is.
And yet it's so powerful, the what's yeah. happened to that snare.
Yes, it's been broken. So anything else?
I think it is very validating, those words, because when you're in the midst of whatever, I mean, you know, it does feel those powerful words, yes. like Kay said, and I think sometimes we can sometimes, I think there's more openness now, but I think sometimes as believers, you feel like you can't feel all those powerful feelings of, you know, I'm being mm-hmm. engulfed or I'm feeling like, but I think that those words by the psalmist validate when you do feel that way.
Absolutely, yeah. The psalms, as we saw in our study of psalms, very raw, very real. They were really dealing with real life situations and emotions.
I watched a movie, The Impossible, mm. made 3 years ago.
Oh, yes.
Oh my God, also. Oh, yeah, and Forrest recommended it. He said, watch it at the second time, blah, blah, blah. But they're in the tsunami, this family of five.
And oh my gosh.
With you and McGregor?
No.
Yes.
It's
a true story.
Yeah. It's a true story.
It's a movie. Oh. It's really well done. It's really yeah. good. I get this feeling the family's Christian, but the only thing that's God is when she's almost, you know, when they all come back and she's almost dying. And she says, oh, thank God, you know, that they're back. That's the only Christian thing. And you have to really listen for it. But it is, it's those, you know, that this, the raging waves would have swept us away. Mm-hmm. And even if they had been swept away by the raging waves,
yeah, and many were swept away yeah. in that tsunami.
And I don't know if you saw it was in the Dallas paper when that happened. There was a guy who had an orphanage, and he used scripture, stopping the waves, and they were all in these boats, and they did they all made it all these little orphans in these boats. Anyway,
yeah. Yeah, there were a lot of Americans there on holiday or something. Wow. It was, yeah.
It was Christmas.
Yes.
It was Christmas?
Like Christmas Eve or something.
Yeah.
Or Christmas
Day. Christmas Day.
Okay, anybody else have any comments at the moment? The psalmist and all God's people. I'm sorry, that's what we just read. The people were in danger of being swallowed up alive and drowned. The first picture is of an enormous dragon or sea monster. The second, that of a flood, is a picture of sudden disaster. In the Middle East, water courses that have eroded the countryside are all interconnected by an intricate gravitational system. A sudden storm fills the little gullies with water. They feed into one another, and in a few minutes, a torrential flash flood is produced. People who live in these desert areas are endangered during the rainy season by such unannounced catastrophes. And I might add that that is a danger right now for any of us who have friends in New Mexico. I have a friend that has a ranch in New Mexico, and it's so dry. But she said, we will get these, you know, torrential downpours, and it produces flash floods, which, you know, it doesn't actually water the earth. It just all... destroys it, wipes out horses and cattle and people and homes and things like that. So So that's something that's actually very near. What would have been their destiny if God had not rescued them? Verses 3-6.
Death.
Yeah, swept death and destruction. Swallowed alive. I mean,
like harm, injury, pain, suffering. I mean, everything that's earthly.
Yeah, just utter terror. And you know, have any of y'all ever been in a flood, like a flash flood? We've had them here. We have them here in Texas, right? I just remember years ago in San Antonio, where my oldest daughter and husband live, and they were pastoring a small home church. There was a young woman that was driving, and her car was swept away. And and it was just such a graphic picture of how quickly, you know, someone can be gone. She's on her cell phone and telling her husband where she is, and she's 2 blocks from home and never makes it home. You know,
it did that here. What is that? A couple of decades ago,
yes.
Over
Turtle
Creek.
Yes.
And that was like 4 or 5 years ago. Right in front of our high rise.
Yeah.
The guy got swept over the big round circle filled up.
Yes.
And he got swept over.
Yeah.
And there were tents across the street from where we were living. There were tents where they had set up, the police department had, because they were sweeping. Oh, divers were going in. It was awful.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
The power of water is really incredible.
Picked up our Jeep and took it down the street. We used to live on the corner pin over at Turtle Creek.
Yeah.
And that water would come right down Turtle Creek. Creek. And David's little scrambler was out there and it picked it up, took it down the street.
Yeah. I remember Annette Gibney's little bug, VW bug. This is a first grade teacher at University Park years and years ago, because this is when my 57-year-old was six. It was floating down Lover's Lane. So the destiny of God doesn't rescue, and God always. He always rescues in some way. It's just some often not in the way that we would perceive it.
And that's what's hard.
For the help to come. Yes.
Yeah. I think the swallowed alive term, I think that I understand it in a physical sense, but I do think a lot of people deal with this in an emotional sense, because it's terrifying. And I think you feel that way. I think for a lot of people, past hurt feels that way. Because you feel like you're buried, but you're not buried, but it feels like it. And it's like you're under attack of the stuff that's either bad treatment that's happened, past fears or hurts or circumstances that were terrible. And I think that feels like you're swallowed alive.
Mm-hmm.
And it can feel like you can't get out, like you're in a quagmire and quicksand and you're running and going deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's where these verses, I felt like it was like a conductor going, if the Lord had not been on our side.
Yeah.
If the Lord had not been on our side. And because I think we all need to hear that more than once.
Yes.
When people attacked us. And then it's like fill in the blank. Right. Go to your grade school where you were mistreated by somebody.
Right.
Go to
middle school.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's sort of like, go there and reframe the attack of whatever it was. Are you attacking yourself? Right? How many of us have
self-contempt?
Oh my gosh. And it's like, let go. Get rid of those things that give you those bad narratives in your head, because those narratives can really feel like being swallowed alive.
Or swept away.
Well, I feel like it's the swallowing alive too. It's like so many people say, young people, like I said, I fear this for my kids, they're not kids in their 20s. The culture today is just swallowing them with lies. And so they're walking around, but you know, Satan has swallowed so many people alive with his lies.
And then we go straight back to this thing. If the Lord had not been on our side, because they were born in this time. Okay.
Yeah.
We were too. Yeah. I remember television coming to our town, everyone's sleeping out over cable television. Rightfully so.
But it just, but that we were born in that time. But my, for my grandparents, that was like, oh my gosh, it's like everything's terrible. And
well, and in their time too, the things that were going on in their time were
sure. I know.
I mean, yes. I think it was you, Judy, that was so comforting to me when you said, we're so shocked by things that go on today, but God isn't shocked.
No.
Because he's seen far worse than what we're seeing today.
Exactly.
And so that
sees it all. Yeah.
That's so true. But if you still fear it, and even with me, I mean, I just, you feel so burdened by it. And so, and you know, if you don't have the faith in the Lord and you don't know the truth, you will be swept away. Yeah. And there's so many people that don't.
Well, but it's a rescue.
Yeah, he is, and the tiniest ray of light pierces the darkness. Mm-hmm. It does. It just, and it exposes. And so, here again, but back to truth and to this eternal. I mean, this one who reigns and rules, which I love that he ended with that, the creator and earth, you know, of heaven and earth. This is the one that sees all, that knows all, that is in all, and he does not leave or forsake. The psalmist is not talking about the good life. No kidding. How God has kept him out of all difficulty. This person has gone through the worst. The dragon's mouth, the flood's torrent, and finds himself intact. He was not abandoned, but helped. The final strength is not in the dragon or in the flood, but in the Lord who was on our side and is on our side. Gnashing teeth, raging floods, and treacherous snares were part of the psalmist's reality. How are they part of the reality you are facing now? They may take the form of persecutions, temptations, physical problems, conflicts, or anything else that threatens your faith. So what are some of those things in your life right now? These things that...
World events.
Okay, world events. I put concerns for kids and grandkids. It feels like the chaos of floods and snares, etc., are designed by the enemy to cause us, to tempt us anyway, to look away from Jesus.
And to question the truth.
Yes.
You know,
like, yes.
Like we were just saying, our culture, you know, it makes you can imagine our kids, but even me. You know, and you know, reaching us and speaking the truth in love, and that how tricky, how hard. That is,
yeah.
Fair. I put lack of absolute truth. Mm-hmm. The culture says you can create your own truth,
right?
Mm-hmm. And believe whatever you like, it fits you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I remember reading one book, this is stuck in my mind forever about, you know, I was kind of just tiddling down the road in life. And you know, it's one thing to manage your own emotions, your own experiences, your own faith. When you have children, something happens that's beyond you. These are their own. God's own creation, and yet we are called to be responsible in some ways and to share the faith. Mm-hmm. And man, that was a real, first of all, recognition of my own mother and all that she went through. And I have new perspectives of the wild, the grief, but then just also my own and all the new things that I couldn't control. And I was like, gosh, do I have a faith? Because you know, they would experience something that I couldn't fix. They used to sit in it.
Yeah.
Even if it's not serious, it's just the first time you've ever had that mother hen where you want to beat up small children.
Right.
But it's hard.
Yeah. Well, and I think it was in our Peterson study in the spring where he made a statement on one of the Psalms, one of the weeks, about if you think about it, there is so very, very little in this life that we actually have any control.
Yes.
Yeah. Remember? And
it's almost a blessing to get older and realize that.
Yeah. Yeah. But to know the one who is in control of all things, you know.
Yeah. At the same time, like as a daughter of a king, we can go and pray, and he does move mountains. I remember we were bringing a guest speaker in to the school district, and it was the first time we were bringing students to listen as well as parents. And it was Campbell's his last name, Don Campbell. I can't remember his name. Anyway, he, coming from Houston, his fee was not refundable, and he was going to be, he's a strong Christian, and he was going to be this amazing presentation. And it was going to be this amazing presentation for the district to hear. We had hundreds of people coming. And there was an enormous storm coming, so much so that Allen Park canceled all their after school activities. And I was like, I just gathered up a group of girls. I was like, we've got to pray that this storm holds off, but there's news that it's going to hold off so the people show up, because if it just holds off and people don't know, they're not going to show up. And I mean, within moments, my friend, she's like, look at the change of weather. And it held off to 8 p.m., which it ended at 7:30, which was going to give everybody time to get home. And it was a big storm at 7, at 8 p.m. And it held off, but it was just exactly our prayer. Like, God, let them know that's going to hold off. Like, don't just hold it off. And the weather phone changed on her app. I was like, whoa, and all the people showed up. Like, oh my gosh. We can pray. Like, God cares about that. I pray for rain the next time we have rain. But
yeah.
that one didn't work.
Someone else
had an event. Yes, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a comfort to know that there's everyone.
But I sometimes fear, how bad is it going to get? Like, I mean, yeah, it's bad now, but it's just getting worse. You know, and how far are you letting this go?
Yeah. On the Denison Forum this morning, he opened with. Today in 1940, Auschwitz opened.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Just to open our eyes at how bad. Mm-hmm. How far it can go.
It can really go.
We get that. Mm-hmm.
Because the prophets being killed in the Old Testament. I mean,
they have,
you know, you think about really, the persecution really of Christians around the world.
Really hard lives.
Yeah.
And then there's a movie called What is a Woman? Have you ever heard of that? It's just heart wrenching to think that there's counselors out there counseling our children on this.
Well, I was in a sorority in college, and one of my friends stays engaged in the nationals. And so I was a Kappa. And so now at our Kappa top level, we have a transgender, I don't know how the phrasing works, but a person who was a man. Who they now let be a Kappa alum because he didn't have the opportunity to be a Kappa in college because he was a man. But, and I mean, yes, this is for real. And we're like,
it's so perverted.
How can somebody who wasn't even something be an alum? I mean, like that didn't make any sense. But then it was that is the weirdest thing imaginable.
Because all identities now are just flexible.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you weren't that, but you're going to get to be that. I mean,
just
even on doctor's forms, they ask now, male, female, or other.
Yeah.
I mean, all the doctors, doing other.
So join the study in the fall on identity.
Yes. Well, that's I'm here, and either a he or they or whatever.
Well, and then goes this beautiful next part where it talks about the snares.
And
they've been broken.
Yes.
And so we may not, I think it's that whole, like, are we living in the freedom of it being broken? Or are we realizing that these snares have nothing on us? Mm-hmm. And I think it's just, the enormity of all the stuff in society and culture and history and your own past and your own mind or whatever, the snare has been broken. Like, it's broken. And I think that's so powerful. And in the ESV translation, it says the snare is broken.
Right.
And so it's a present tense ongoing. And I just, sometimes these verbs are so beautiful to look at the tenses, because I do think it can be so overwhelming and discouraging. And wallowing in the discouragement leaves us just like seemingly depressed and powerless. And the truth of the matter is, Adonai is over everything.
And so where is our focus? What are we looking at?
And in the focus on the freedom and the snare being broken, then we can walk alongside each other in fullness rather than crippled.
And encouraging and not looking on this murky dark, which we don't understand and we can't even conceive of, but it's still
like it gets more and more demented.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting to me too that he's talking about the snare and the last thing it says, it sprung when the victim touched the bait, the temptation. It's like, it will only catch you if you reach for the bait. But we all will at some point.
We do. We do.
Yeah, daily.
So
like that was a bird. I saw the bird flies above it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
flies away.
Yeah.
Set free.
So the image of danger changes from floodwaters to the fowler's snare, which also occurs in Psalm 91:3. This bird trap consisted of a roughly circular wooden base on which two nets were mounted. And when the trap was set, the nets were drawn down to one side and held in place by a trigger, which, when released, allowed the nets to spring up and envelop the victim. The trigger could be released by hand or sprung when the victim touched the bait attached to it. End of quote. So when and how has the Lord helped you persevere in dangerous times?
Well,
I
mean,
said there's just been times when he sent people that just were angels or just opened the mouths of someone that I knew that said something I needed to hear. And I have literally, in fact, he at the very end says something about a God whom no eye has seen or no ear heard, but I have heard God whisper in my ear before. I have. It was his voice whispering in my ear. And I've just felt times where it just literally lifts me up. And but we talk about our kids and our nephews and the people that we love that don't have this, and they touch the bait and they're caught in that snare. Mm-hmm. Just that image of, you know, the snares that, like, the more you struggle, the more it tightens. It's like that's where they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you just feel so helpless. Mm-hmm. But I know that because they have to make the decision themselves, and you just can't do it for them. I just want everybody to have that, you know, the God that speaks in your ear and lifts you up out of the trap, you know.
And hide your word in your heart.
Yeah.
In scripture.
Yes.
The rescue.
Yeah. I had, you know, he reminded me of what I know to be true,
mm-hmm.
you know, his word. And also he provides
community.
Mm-hmm. There's such power in community and being able to be vulnerable and transparent as we are in this group, and to share from our own lives, experiences and things, and just the faithfulness and the goodness, the greatness, the power of God.
I mean, addiction is the one that just, oh my gosh, you can't get out of that snare. It just pulls you and pulls you, and you see people struggling with that.
It's very, very.
My daughter Mary Lou made her children memorize scripture before they got their phone.
I can see Mary
doing that.
She's always smart.
I mean, just hide that word.
Just the baby chest.
You get
that I'm not sending it to
use that tool of the word.
Yeah.
I love that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, which is every other high priest was always standing,
mm-hmm.
could not sit.
Yeah.
And Jesus is sitting because his work is done, and that he is constantly praying for us, and that his blood cries out for us every day.
He ever lives to make it.
Well, it's just
for
so beautiful, the thought that Jesus is praying for you, right? This, you know.
And the fact that he who is the creator God, the Trinity, who lived forever, and always before the foundation of the world, in this beautiful harmony, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and out of this super abounding love comes and becomes one of us, you know, and inhabits this planet that they had created and lived and moved among us and said, you know, you see me, you see the Father. He's made God known to us, you know. So he, the living word, and then also we have this beautiful written word, which is chronicles the history of God's people
with Christ
in heavenly places.
And I love how you said the word seated too. I didn't know that
mm-hmm.
other ones were allowed to sit.
Mm-hmm.
But we're were seated with Christ in heavenly places.
Yes.
Which is at God's right hand. So Jesus is seated.
Exactly.
With Christ. So mm-hmm. That is super powerful. Yes. Spiritual and physical.
Yes. Spiritual and physical. Okay. Yes. I thought you said infidel and I was going, no. No.
Both.
Yeah.
Blows my mind.
Yeah.
I think as far as the kids are concerned, they are in danger and hiding the word in their heart. And there's also the first part of Proverbs 31 is talking about a father talking to his son. I'm not sure which one it was, but and he said, it is not for kings to drink strong drink, and it is not for the sons and daughters of the kings. I mean, you have to teach your children they're different. They are different. They're sons and daughters of the king. And they must live at life a different way.
Very different way.
And I love in 2 Timothy 4, 16, Paul says, at my first offense, no one came to my support, and everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength.
Yeah.
And I just love literally,
yeah.
Literally the physical, the Lord stood at my side.
Yes.
I mean, that's just super powerful. And Paul can relate to maybe feeling like he's alone, and that everyone else maybe can't, you know, how we like relate or, you know, but the Lord stood at my side.
Yes.
What was that verse again, Jesus?
2 Timothy 4, 16 or 17, 16 and 17. And I love, you know, like that's, I think that's a great way to pray for people too, or encourage them. It's like, I'm going to pray that you know that the Lord's at your side right now, you know.
I often have sent a text to a young woman this morning that I've been walking with through some pretty hard stuff. And I just said, you know, I want you to know the tangible presence of Jesus with you and beside you and in you today. You know?
That's a good encouragement. So I could predict that. We said that again.
I just texted her and said, you know, may you know the tangible presence of the Lord Jesus with you today, in you and with you and for you. You know, and I just think that's, you know, I'm relying on a grandson right now. God is for you. He is for you. And who has that song? Where he is for you.
You
know, huh? Yes.
Well, it's that beautiful song.
Yes, yeah, that beautiful contemporary.
Carrie Job and Corey.
Corey Asbury, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is for you. Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's so directly from Numbers.
Yeah.
By that passage in Numbers.
So how does your history with the Lord give you hope that he will deliver you safely through danger? And so some of us have walked with him longer than some of you all have been alive, actually.
Well, that's an understatement.
But what I was going to say is, we're still standing and we're still sitting, and like that being encouragement to you. Because I think the longer you walk through, and the more treacherous events of life that you have experienced, and storms and fires, and I was taken back to Isaiah 43, which I mean, Kay and I are always taken back to Isaiah 43, but you know. Don't fear, I'm with you. You know, I've called you by name, you're mine, you know, when you pass through the waters, the rivers, the fires, you know. And so that this kind of was a reflection of that too. But anyway, how does your history with the Lord give you hope that he will deliver you safely through danger?
This reminds me of those stones of remembrance that God commanded them to stack the stones up out of Jordan River too. And then when they passed by with their children later, and their children said, what are these?
Yes.
Then they told them what they were.
Yes.
It was when God brought us across that river.
Yes. And it's good to remember. Mm-hmm. To remember and to remember the goodness of them.
Share that with each other and with our families. And
the Ebenezer.
Ebenezer.
Right. Yeah. And I just put, you know, all that is behind me now teaches me to trust in all that lies ahead. Mm-hmm. Because I know the same one walked with me, that same one that rescued me in the first place when I was certainly not looking for him, but I was actually running away from him, and he ran after me and brought me to him.
It makes us so useful and mighty warriors. Like, and he doesn't have much of a chance as somebody who's been an overcomer multiple times. Like, mm-hmm. They got a strong core, a strong faith, versus the one that never had to battle experience.
And
it's going to come out weaker.
Yeah, that's what I was, reminding one of my grandchildren. You know, it's just this adversity. Yes. Does our flesh desire this easy, coasting, no troubles life, but this adversity, we see that all through scripture. It's the pressure, it's that tests the strength. I mean, it's how they test the what are those bars called that go under the bridges?
Rebar.
They test the rebar by putting more and more and more weight on it to test, and it increases its capacity to bear weight. And that's what it does. It's the same. The testing of your faith produces
perseverance.
Was it in the last study that talked about the wind on the trees? Remember that?
Oh, I know that story. I don't know if I shared it. That is amazing. That's a great story.
Yeah. The wind blows on the trees and makes them have deeper and deeper
roots. Yeah, the roots go down deeper.
And they won't grow as strong if they don't have the wind blowing on them. And that's, it's like the parable of the seed. And so many people, as soon as there's adversity, they lose the faith. That's kind of what I was talking about with the spiritual danger, because they don't have the deep roots.
I will never forget this. And years and years ago, teaching precept, my night class, and this young woman who just graduated from AMU was in my class with this deep voice. And every time she spoke, it was as if E.F. Hutton would look. And she gave the illustration of that, that night about the tree and how the root, and it was Jen.
It was Jen.
Jennifer Lewis at the time, Jen Klaus. Yeah. And it was beautiful. Some of these women, they were the age I am now, and I thought they were so old. Anyway, they were, and I am.
I think this line, and I want to kind of keep saying it out loud because it's a kind of a new thought to me, but it's in this gray pages at the back of this lesson, but on the back page, it says Psalm 134, though it's not about the hazards, but about the help. The hazardous work of discipleship is not the subject of the psalm, it's only its setting. The subject is the help. And that just, I'm still just kind of storing in that, because sometimes when I look at things that have happened, it's so traumatic to me that, or in our culture, it's so traumatic that I kind of have a hard time getting past that. But if I just stop myself and review, that's the setting. Mm-hmm. All those things, that's the setting. Mm-hmm. The subject is God in it.
That's
the
right.
Subject is the hell. And I'm just going to have to discipline my mind for that, because I kind of keep going back to the hard and even with the culture, so this is what's going on right now. That's the setting. That's not the content. Another way he said it in the chapter was, it's not the content. And so anyway, I just have to
That's true.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I'm going to stir it up just a little bit, because Paul said, I know the secret of being content, whether in plenty or whether in want.
Yeah.
And I think we're so quick to look at the want and go, that's where we're strong.
Yeah.
But it can't not be thrown out. When you're in the plenty, are you relying in the same way?
Yeah.
Because the plenty is what messes you up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You start relying on yourself. You think it's all easy. You don't focus on the help because it doesn't look like you need help.
Right.
But the truth of the matter, the biggest snares are in the plenty.
Good point. So, really good. And
they are.
In the prosperity.
I know Margaret's been telling me that she's praying her children would just be heartbroken and mission trips. And I was like,
in kindergarten, the teacher goes, well, what can I pray for her? And I was like, pray she's taken down. Everyone wanted to sit by her. And I was like, this is a problem. She thinks everybody wants to sit by her.
She would say things like, I just pray they just get called out young. They would
it's so shoot and be caught every single time.
I would not be popular.
Yeah.
It was such a lesson to me.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed that I prayed it and that child knows I did. It's probably horrified. That teacher just looked at me and was like, excuse me. And I'm like, did that come out? Like, did yes. it come
out? Do you love your father?
I was like, right. Yeah, exactly.
But to follow that up years later, my son just graduated high school, and back in August, he applied to college. And his essays were all about his adversity. His one essay, like about when he got cut from the basketball team, not when he made the basketball team, like what he did with that. And so being gluten-free on a mission trip where he had to take all his food overseas by himself and then prepare that and have it broke in the luggage, and so he walked out. Like, just all of those hardships is actually what made him the best athlete ever. Which is so,
I was going to follow up with what Kay was saying, and that as a hunter and as a snare, you know, you lay a snare in wait and you cover it up and you try to make it look like it's part of the environment. Mm-hmm. And you walk around and you're feeling good, and then your foot hits the snare, mm-hmm. and you're taking, it's like, that's the landmines that mm-hmm. is walking around, you know, for all of us and for our kids and everything. It's like keeping our eyes on the one thing that matters, mm-hmm. and aware that the snares are there, you know, because that's really what a snare is. It's lying in wait. It's right. like, it's there, you know, and where are you putting your attention?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's put there with the intent of capturing
you. Mm-hmm.
Stay on the path. Mm-hmm.
Stay on the path, right. Right. Mm-hmm. The last verse of the psalm proclaims that our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. How is your trust in God affected by the knowledge that he is the creator of all?
Hey, I remember when we had a Bible study on the name of the Lord.
Yes.
We're doing it again next year and putting it next to our identity. It's so good. I just Googled name of the Lord. And there's just so many.
Yeah.
And it's just so such a good reminder, remember that when you say name, it's not just like God and present, it is complete. Every kind of help we need, healing, comfort. Yeah. You know, I mean, on and on and on. King of Kings, over everything. So when you think of that verse, our help is in the name of the Lord. It's just going to make me just stop and think about the name.
Yeah, I was listening to that. Great.
Like, what is the name of help? He is my help. Yeah. And the name and help in Hebrew is Shua.
Yeah.
And Yahweh Yeshua is Yahshua, which is Jesus.
Because
I was sitting there going, there's got to be a name, my helper.
Yeah.
What is it? And I Googled it, and it's like, it's Shua. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's Yahshua. That is Jesus.
Exactly.
Oh, cool is that?
Yeah. Oh, you got to put that in the
key. Yeah. Well, just to know the power of the name, biblically, you know, it's the character. It's the character of the person. Yeah, and I mean, I may have already said this, but I'm myself repeating myself over and over recently. I have a granddaughter living with me, and she'll go, and I just go, I've already said that.
Yes.
Yes. I'm so excited about it.
I'm so sorry. But I was listening to Jaira by Maverick City. Oh my gosh. And he is enough. He is enough. He is enough. It's just repeated throughout Jaira. And he's that provider. He provides. Yep. He is enough. But how does the fact that he ended it with creator, and as it's almost not. But
I just think that
how is your trust affected by that? Y'all, the complexity of creation. Oh my gosh. I mean, it's just boggles the mind. I was reading something the other day about this photographer was taking pictures of just random kitchen things, you know, like is that in this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
See?
And
so just the reality, the beauty that was there just within that we can't see with our naked eye. Okay, thank you.
Wait, can we explain it a little bit further?
Okay.
like the Brillo pad.
Yes, like this photographer took it with a high magnifying lens so that this Brillo pad was beautiful in the intricate weaving of the Brillo pad, you know, or a spatula, you know, magnified however many times, you know, was beautiful. And so, and just to think that just our cellular structure and the way that we are creation just screams the majesty, the power, the glory of God. And so, I mean, I loved that. Plus, they're marching up to Jerusalem to go worship this one who they know is the maker and creator of heaven and earth.
So I answered on number six of how does your history with the Lord help you give you hope? I said that he has proven himself trustworthy and creative in ways that I never could have imagined, where he has worked things out, delivered me from things. We're like, well, I didn't see that coming. You just can't make this stuff up.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason I didn't see it coming is because I don't have those eyes to see how he is orchestrating what he's doing. I come to when I leave my house late and avoid a wreck that I don't even know about.
Right.
Right. It's all those things. And so then the next question, when it brings up his creation, it's that he controls everything.
Mm-hmm.
All resources are at his disposal to bring to bear on each of our lives, each of our situations. He's a busy God. I mean, he's really got a lot going on here, but he's able. And that, when you take it back to the fact that he is the original creator, that just blows your mind.
Yeah.
And it does make you go,
and how effortlessly did he do it? Right. Spoke it.
I don't know. He blinked, he spoke.
Yeah.
You know, how does he even do it now? How does he keep up with it all? And it blows your mind, and it puts you in the right perspective to go, who he is.
And to understand that the only way that we understand him is he has given us anthropomorphic language. In other words, the only way we can understand him, he's so vast and beyond our understanding that he has to give us language that we as humans can comprehend. You know, he's so beyond anything that we can actually comprehend.
Well, and his timelessness. And so we're so caught up in our little life. Not that our life's not important, but we tend to think that death is just the worst thing in the world, you know, and it's just, then you go to be with him in eternity. And so it's really hard for us. We have survival instinct. We want our children to survive, our loved ones. We don't want to separate them. But when you realize that's not the end, that it's just like so much more important, our heavenly life. And it just,
which we're being prepared for now through these difficult situations. I'm just going to close with this. What difference does it make for you to know that the Lord is on your side?
Everything.
I would say it should make all the difference in the world to know that he is on your side. He knows our every need. He knows everything. He knows things that we don't know. He keeps us from ever knowing things that we don't need to know. You know, he is he's a loving, faithful Father who loves us beyond our imagination.
And part here, this was so good for me to hear this week. The daring to believe that failing in love is better than succeeding in pride. Yeah. And just him talking about, and with everything that he's done, how he feels so often that he's failed or that he didn't reach somebody.
Right.
And but it was to believe that failing in love is better than succeeding.
That was good. And I highlighted this and found that first and great part. I say that God will accomplish his will, and I cheerfully persist in living in the hope that nothing will separate me from Christ's love. That's the most important thing. It's a guarantee, Romans 8. Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. So I hope you did do this little exercise before the prayer and admit your fears to the Lord and ask him for his peace as you trust in him for deliverance. And then thanking for the stories of deliverance through your life, through scripture and others' lives that you've been a part of. And just to know that, our past, present, and future are in his hands. I want to read the Psalm 124 just from the Passion Translation, just because it's a different translation. It's beautiful. What if God had not been on our side? Let all Israel admit this. What if God had not been there for us? Our enemies in their violent anger would have swallowed us up alive. The nations with their flood of rage would have swept us away and we would have drowned, perished beneath their torrent of terror. We can praise God over and over that he never left us. God wouldn't allow the terror of our enemies to defeat us. We are free from the hunter's trap. Their snare is broken. And we have escaped. For the same God who made everything, our creator and our mighty maker, he himself is our helper and our defender. Amen. Father God, we thank you so much for the truth that you are our help, that you are our daily help. We thank you that you have invited us to come boldly into your throne room to receive mercy and to find grace to help in times of need. So whatever the time of need in our life is right now, whether we feel like we are going to be swept away by raging waters, or whether we sense that we have recently been set free from a snare, we celebrate you, we worship you, we bow before you, we adore you, we love you, we thank you, Jesus, for your salvation. We thank you that you have given us your word. We thank you that we can hide it in our hearts. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that as we hear your word, even as we have been discussing here together, just sharing experiences and sharing truth, sharing the reality of who you are, there we rest, there we stay, there we fix our eyes. Might we continue to fix our eyes on Jesus, the one who is the author and the perfecter and the sustainer of our faith. Amen.
Andy, as you were praying, I remember in Revelation 12, Jesus talking about how we overcome the enemy and that power of our acceptance.
Yes.
And that's what all these are.
Yes. So yes. Yeah. So, guys, thank you for coming and joining us. Bye. Okay, I can't
do that.
Yes, yes. Oh, I tried it. Yes. Okay, thank you. Thank you.